Welcome. It's 9:15, so I think we'll get going. My name is David Ernst. I am the Chief Information Officer in the College of Education and Human Development at the University of Minnesota.
Yep. My name is Allison Link. I currently work as an academic technologist at University of Minnesota Extension.
So we would like to, our session needs a little explaining up front. It's going to be a little bit different, I think, than other sessions have been. And that we're going to take a look back 3 years. We're going to travel back in time here. Notice the retro look of the slides. That's how old it is. And we're going to look at a mobile initiative that we did at the University of Minnesota in this College of Education and Human Development. As we do this, we're actually going to be different voices of what happened. And so what you'll hear from me is the voice of administration. That's what I am. That's what I was. And so when you hear me talking, that's really what I'm reflecting.
And when you hear me, I'm sort of speaking from this place of action. So if Dave's the vision, kind of the administrator, the vision anchor in this whole story, I'm on the ground in the voice of faculty, students, and myself in the tech support role, actually acting and engaging with tablets on a day-to-day basis.
Right. So with that, what we'll do is first give you just quick background. The University of Minnesota is a huge place. There are about 55,000 students. The College of Education and Human Development is about the third largest college in the university. I think we have 5,500 students or so, professional students, graduate students, undergraduate students. What we're going to talk about for today and for this initiative is our undergraduate program. We enroll about 450 freshmen every year, new first-year students. And these first-year students come into a first-year experience program. It's a cohort program where they take some of the same classes with the same instructors, and that's delivered through one of our departments, our Department of Post-Secondary Teaching and Learning. So it's kind of a closed system, which is very nice to run a program in. And there are about 30 instructors in this program that we worked with on this mobile initiative. Okay.
So the data we're kind of pulling from, or just sort of how we're weaving together this story, comes from a couple different sources. We're going to look at administrative artifacts, or this is sort of where we're pulling our story from. Administrative artifacts, and that's from people like us sort of emailing back and forth and, you know, jogging our own memories and thinking where we were at different points in time. And so my role in this administrative end was started as a research assistant on the project to do a little bit of qualitative data collection, and then eventually worked in a tech support role in the department that was doing tablets. So I'll speak from that sort of lens as an administrator. And Dave?
And my role as an administrator, basically being responsible for this whole mobile program and working with our dean and her leadership and my staff and the faculty.
We also have some stories that we can weave together from the student surveys that we've got, and we did those, you know, every year, about 50 to 60% response rate on those each year. And we also have faculty interview and focus group data from the very first year of the initiative, kind of a lot of the first impressions and the first sort of frustrations, which we thought for an audience like this might be really fruitful for you to kind of hear the emergent frustrations as they came. Because a project like this that's where you hit the snags and that's where you have to answer to. So we're hoping that you'll hear different things and snags that you can head off if you ever do something like this, and in anything, not just tablet in particular.
Okay. So this is where we're going back to time to. July 20th, 2010. And the reason we're going back to this date is that this article came out on this date. Chronicle of Higher Education published this about more universities announcing iPad experiences. The iPads had come out about three and a half months before this in April of 2010. No one really knew, as far as education goes, what kind of affordances they might provide education or what they might be good for. There were a lot of guesses. And there were programs who were starting to say, we're going to give these to all of our students. I'm sorry, I have an email from my dean. Can I check?
Check your email?
Yeah, I got an email. Next day, my dean sends me this email saying, referencing this article, can we do this? This is the quote, including the five question marks. This is the exact email I received. Now, my job as an administrator in working with leadership was, of course, to say yes, and then to try to manage that and to say, you know, this is what I think is doable. So I replied back to her and tried to kind of manage up, as you might say, and say, yeah, I think let's do this. Let's find 10 or 20 students and do a small pilot, and then if things go well, expand from there. I was, of course, thinking of my staff and their workload and all of that, and that's how the conversation went. That was my feedback to her. Her response? Yeah, so, okay, and again, yes, okay, we're going to do this. So that's how we got involved in this large enrollment, or excuse me, this large mobile project. We do have about, whoop.
Oh, sorry, it's trying to pull the web page.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So, of course, this is, yeah, let me drive here a second. This did create a lot of conflict in my mind, for a lot of reasons. I have a PhD in learning technologies and education and technology, and this isn't the way I normally would go about something like this, right? And as educational technologists, you know that usually don't try not to lead with the technology, right? You're leading with course objectives, you're leading with instruction and curriculum and context and all of those things, and you're solving problems with these tech tools generally. But I wasn't quite comfortable with saying, here, everybody, we're going to have these, and things will be great. That was a challenge for me. At the same time, I recognized that these things were new. We didn't really know what they were good for. And this is what my dean basically, this is what she founded her decision on. We are a college of education. We ought to be the ones trying to figure out what these things are good for. And so to throw us into this really exploratory tone instead of more of what I was comfortable with, maybe. Right? I was worried about my dean. I was worried about the college and how we would look spending $250,000 on these things when it wasn't really clear what our objectives were. Right? I was waiting for attacks from faculty, you know, saying, why are we wasting this money on this? What are we trying to accomplish? It's not clear, and so on. So I really felt that it was my job to really make this purposeful, to be kind of help leading the college in understanding what these things are good for, expressing a vision, helping faculty understand what to use them for, and students as well. So that's where we were. Kind of, we're going to do this. We're going to give all of our students these iPads. Now we have to tell faculty that this is going to happen. These 30 faculty who teach these first-year students, we had to let them know that this was going to happen and hopefully get them on board. We'd like to take 2 minutes right now. I'd like you to imagine this scenario. My dean and myself sitting in front of a department, in front of these faculty here, at their first faculty meeting in late August, and her saying, here's what we're going to do. I've decided this is what we're going to do. We're going to give all of the students this. And what we would like you to do is opt in and do something in your classroom with iPads. What we'd like you to do is take 2 minutes, turn to the person next to you, feel free to take 10 seconds, introduce yourselves, but then come up with, what do you think the response really was from faculty? What do you think we heard that day? Concerns, excitement, whatever, any kind of mix you have, and go, 2 minutes.
And for our online audience, feel free to type some thoughts in the chat box then, too, if you're thinking of it.
Thank you. Another response. We're doing great, yeah. Well, who knows, yes. I'm not worried about it. The things that we did. Yep, yep. Right. almost. It's been a minute. Close enough. It was 9:24 when we started, so it couldn't be 2 minutes until it gets to 9:26. Right, there you go. Okay, 9:26.
Getting faculty on board, then the app of the week after.
Okay, all right, if we can come back, and can I just hear a few things? Anyone want to volunteer? And I'll repeat it for the online audience. Yep, what do you think you heard? We heard. Yes, August. Yes. Oh, okay, that's the response? The response was, August, you're telling us it's in August, okay? Okay, why weren't we involved from the beginning, and what do you want us to do with these, this technology? Yep.
So we're probably really excited. If there's someone who likes technology, types of training things, and wants to jump on board right away.
Okay, some were very excited. I'm excited to get on board. Thank you. Anyone else? Right. Issues of academic freedom, and you're telling us what to do. Yes, one more. Very good. All right. So who's going to teach us how to use this, and how are we going to support the students using this, of course? So, and I think we heard pretty much all of those things. I mean, it was a really good discussion. It was a really valid and valuable discussion. What we did from there was made some decisions about how to go forward. Part of the decision was made to make involvement voluntary. Now, that's I think the safest thing you could imagine, right? I mean, to avoid that academic freedom issue, to say, hey, listen, your students are going to come in with these. You can get on board. We can give you an iPad, and you can learn. We can support you in it, and you can find, if you decide you want to do something with it, we'll support you all the way, but it's up to you. It really is up to you. Of the 29 faculty, I think 27 of them actually decided to get on board. Okay.
Sorry, I just put them all up there.
Give them time before their expectations. It was August, and I know my dean was tempted to say, all right, let's just go. Well, first of all, we couldn't get the iPads until October. They were kind of back because they were the hottest thing right then. And so I basically convinced the dean to not have any expectations of them until spring semester. If we can get them in their hands in October, give them some time to play with them, get some time for us to get them up to speed on it and think about how to use them in their classrooms, just ideas, and then we can do that. Give them freedom to fit it into their instruction. Again, an academic freedom issue, really, where they all taught very different things, and we basically said, just do something. That's the only instructions they really got, do something. And we did not manage the device at all. We basically handed them the device, showed them how to put their Apple ID into it, and it was all theirs. They could install whatever they wanted onto it. And probably most importantly, since these were the hottest things going at the time, and still are to some degree, I guess, 4 years later, give them an iPad. That was maybe the biggest incentive of all. I'm not sure.
So it speaks to you, yeah. Some were excited about it.
Some were excited about the technology itself. So, again, we had great buy-in. We had almost all of them the first year. After that, they were all in the years following. So I do want to talk a little bit about, I mean, these kind of understanding, you know, a mobile initiative. It's hard to just say, this is what they're good for. You have to understand the context of this. And one of the pieces of context is the tone that was set by, frankly, my dean. Her name's Jean Quam. She calls herself Dean Jean, the iPad queen, which gives you, I mean, she actually at the lab, we handed out iPads this last fall to our new freshmen. She wore a hat, a big top hat that said, Dean Jean, the iPad queen on it. Anyway, she is very willing to just experiment, just play. And you can see that tone in that, in since November of 2010, she had a newsletter, a weekly newsletter to the college. She had an app of the week she put in there. And look at the different apps that are in there. It's everything from Evernote, Angry Birds, you know, the grocery list apps.
Remember the milk?
I mean, anything. She encouraged play. She encouraged this kind of atmosphere. This was not, you know, you need to do this, and this isn't allowable, and this. She really wanted, folks to learn by doing in their personal life, so that they could later apply it. Okay, Greg. Excuse me. Hold on a second. I got to take this. Yep. It's a newspaper, and I got a lot of these calls at the time because we were kind of a very big initiative, and from the Chronicle to Inside Higher Ed to local newspapers.
Student newspaper.
Student newspaper, of course, and they all wanted to know the same things. They always asked me the same thing. It's, what are your objectives? What are your goals? And naturally, when running a project, I'm usually very tuned into that. In this kind of atmosphere of play, of we're just going to figure out what these are good for, of that, sometimes there were very uncomfortable phone calls. And so what I tried to do is say, okay, again, it's my job. I see my job as kind of creating this vision. So, okay, we don't know what they're good for. Let's throw these out here. So we would tell this to the newspapers and to whoever asked, to faculty. Here's what they're good for. E-text, we're going to save students a lot of money because they're going to be using electronic textbooks now. Okay, very good. All right, so we have a lot of students in our college who are low income and can't afford.
Okay, Dave, let me stop you just for a sec there. Right. So did you ever think about classroom management here? Because I'm going to have, you know, every student in my class is going to come in with one of these things, right? So as a faculty member, that makes me kind of nervous. I don't actually know what that means, right?
Oh, okay. I didn't really think of that.
So, I mean, all right, there's kind of a range, right? Hey, it's a zoo. I love it. I actually love it. I love students with devices. I love them coming in. I bring the gadgets on. And they're going to have to learn how to use these. This is part of growing up. They can ignore them. They need to learn how to figure this out. If they're in front of their boss and they're using one of these things, it's going to be embarrassing. They may as well figure that out and take the knocks already, right? But others are sitting there saying, hey, it's a challenge. This is chaos. This is more chaos than I'm used to. Suddenly, this level of cacophony is going up in the room. I try to bound it. I implement an iPad Monday, for example. Just Mondays we're going to use it. And we're going to have a bounded purpose. We're going to have, you know, a project that we're doing together. And I'm going to limit the amount of time we spend on technology. And then I'm going to ask them to put it away. And next Monday we come back to it. All right, so that's, I mean, I right, guess, yeah, yeah, you know, we can manage that, I suppose.
Really, I hadn't really thought of those things. So.
Okay, wait, one more. Okay, Dave. So I'm actually having technical problems, and you know, this is kind of embarrassing to me, because really when I have technical problems in class, actually it amounts to me standing in front of the class looking like an idiot. So operationally, I've actually had more clunks than successes so far.
Okay.
So something, for example, as simple as giving a quiz, right? I had 20 students in the classroom. Everyone had an iPad. It was a 15-question quiz. It doesn't seem too hard. Half the students couldn't access the quiz. There are pop-ups or block-ups or I don't know what that, you know. So I had half taking it on their iPads. I had to run down the hall. I had to print off the other half, right? And I'm supposed to sit here and say, iPads, you know, do it on the iPad. Do it on the iPad.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Sorry about that. We'll look into that.
Okay, no, now, so, no. No, seriously, one more,
okay.
Along the lines of technical issues, right? Did you realize, Dave, I don't know if you thought about this, but iPads don't actually project, right? So I'm kind of used to, you know, I plug in my computer, it projects, right? So I got pretty excited about apps when I first got the iPad. I was playing with things, playing around, you know, go up in front, have my dongle even. I bought one at the bookstore. And I'm realizing, hey, unlike the laptop, not all apps project. This was a first-year thing, right? It's a lot easier to me if I just carry my laptop in there, right? How am I going to, I can't predict which ones are going to do what, so.
Okay, all right, well.
Have you tried projecting with your iPad, Dave?
No, I hadn't.
Okay.
Well, hadn't tried
try
that.
It sometime.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so you can see that there were really.
Okay, wait, one more quick thing, maybe a couple more quick things. It's not a laptop, all right? It's not a laptop. And this is kind of a shocker, because I know even Apple was kind of saying, hey, this is going to replace the laptop. This is going to be, you know, it's slim, it's great. It's the next thing, next cool, best, better than sliced bread. It isn't. And actually, one thing that's really helpful for me is to know what it can't do. more than what it can do, or both, I guess. But it is helpful to know what it can't do, so I don't try to make it into a laptop. I'm just constantly disappointed, running into the walls, because it's it's not a laptop.
Okay, we'll figure that out together. Okay,
just one final thing. Seriously, this time, this is kind of big. What do I do if not all students in my class have one? All right, I know we said we're giving it to all students, but the reality is, a university is a complex place, and I do have classes. I teach other classes. I teach classes with upperclassmen. And, you know, there are some classes where I don't have 100% coverage. I was jazzed about it. I have two sections of speech, and then I found out, hey, wait a minute, less than 50% of them have iPads. They're enrolled from other departments. And I even got these embarrassing emails going back and forth before the beginning of the semester saying, do I need one? I know I'm taking a speech class. I know it's part of the department that has the iPads. Should I get one? And I have to respond to that. That's awkward.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Understood.
Okay. Last thing. Now, I'm willing to go with you on some of this. You know, I'm willing to try it. I'm worried about coverage. But ultimately, in the end, I'm weighing this back and forth of, is it even worth my time? Okay? Because we all know that educational technologies come and go. And I need to be convinced that the time I'm spending this semester, during the semester, which is hard, you know, that it's actually worth it for me. So I really would like to know, is this ever going to happen again? You know, is this a one-year thing? Is this an ongoing thing? I may as well quit now if we're never going to see him again.
Right. I can understand that. That's understandable. You put a lot of energy into it. Okay.
All right. So just a quick summary of all the complaints we heard, and this is something that in an academic tech support role in the department, I got to field a lot of this. And I think there were some interesting things that emerged in the interviews for each of these. And again, these quotes are all taken from faculty interviews done during that first year of you know, interesting, you know, figuring things out. Classroom management, there was a huge range of responses to classroom management. Some were very nervous about it at first. Some were, you know, bring it on, it's fine, I like the zoo. Ultimately, though, I think I was surprised from a research perspective to hear how many just came to see it as part of an equation that was evolving. You know, this equation of there are more devices coming in, I just need to kind of figure that out anyways. And I think most people in the department kind of came to see that as just something they were going to have to deal with, and they had maybe were forced to think about it a little earlier because of the iPad, but it felt similar to managing cell phones, managing smartphones in the classroom. All right, so they got to kind of test that out a couple years ahead and kind of get used to the new norm there. Technical problems. One thing that I think we saw is that faculty who were willing to kind of be learners and put themselves out there, co-learners in a specific space in their classroom, and who, you know, could kind of get around the embarrassment or embrace the embarrassment, did better and had a little more sense of control with the iPads. And there were some expressions of, you know, I want to give it a place, but it doesn't take up my entire class. So if a technical problem comes up, if it's just on a Monday, we can deal with that and we move on. You know, if it's not when we're building community, you know, if we build community in a different way, and then, you know, we do projects, you know, if it doesn't interrupt kind of their class, their core sense of pedagogy, the technical problems they could deal with. So somehow coming up with a space to bound it and experiment and try, and then have a broader kind of context in their class. And everyone did that in different ways, you know, but that was the sentiment that came, is bounding it, dealing with technical problems, and having it be part of a bigger context. I heard a lot of, but it's not a laptop, and I think from a technical support perspective, it was surprising the extent to which it wasn't a laptop. I don't know if anyone remembers back to 2010. You remember 4 years ago? So this app projection thing, for example, that was just really one illustration of a line of different things, right? But if you're sort of told this is a laptop replacement, and you realize it doesn't project in consistent ways of things that you're expecting, or you hit those snags, you know, as a technical support staff, you kind of have to go through this mourning process with people of telling them, no, it's not a laptop. We know you kind of didn't realize that in class. And again, some of this is hard to head off because you don't know how they're going to use them in the classroom. You don't know what they're going to come back and be surprised that it didn't do, right? And helping them weather that and helping them kind of say, still keep trying, you know, it'll emerge. And again, by later years, the hardware changed, the software changed, all apps did project. Eventually we got kind of mirroring, you know, full screen mirroring with iPads. They came more useful. But, you know, you're responding to software and hardware realities as they emerge too and helping them weather those expectations. So there is a role for academic tech support to help expectation management there. The next question, what do I do when not all students have one? I think it was really interesting how consistently that emerged in the interview data with faculty, and not something I necessarily would have anticipated from a tech support perspective, and also the extent to which it wasn't just majority coverage they were concerned about. Okay, 90% of my students have an iPad, I can go forth. They were concerned about full coverage. So they were concerned about the one student in their class who didn't have an iPad for some reason because they transferred in late and they somehow didn't get it. There was this sentiment of, if I don't have full coverage, it's really hard for me to know what to do with these. And I think that did probably also come from the culture of a college that, you know, used to be pretty engaged in developmental education, is continuing to be engaged in sort of access programs into the college. And so if there is a situation where one student doesn't have an iPad and they're saying they have full coverage, that feels like a tension there. And I put that question out there just because this is an ongoing emerging question in the bring your own device discussions of, what do I do when not everyone has the same device? You know, how do we weather that embarrassment if somebody comes with nothing? You know, faculty are really concerned about that, and that was just an interesting impediment in some cases. So there's an ongoing question of, what's the role in academic tech to help them think through that? You know, help enable, regardless of this differential coverage. And then the final question that is sort of on administrators to think about is it even worth the time? You know, we love playing with tech devices. A lot of us in the tech world and academic tech world will play with anything for a year, and it doesn't matter if it goes away next year. Actually, better if it goes away next year, because it's, you know, then the new toy's there. But faculty don't have that kind of equation in their mind. You know, they want to know they're investing for a reason, especially if they're busy and, you know, they're thinking in the long term. So I'll pass that on to Dave with that last question.
So after hearing all these concerns, and most of these emerged in year one, we needed to make some adjustments, of course, and we did, including the dean. I got the dean to actually state that this is just how we will work from now on, so that they knew there was a long-term, and that their investment would be long-term, that they would be able to use whatever they did this semester, next semester, and so on. That was important. To deal with the issue of not everyone has one, and we can't give our 55,000 students at the university an iPad, we basically arranged to have a check. We had a checkout cart where students could be sent. If an instructor said, we're going to use these today in the classroom, they could go to the students and say, go check one out, bring it to class, and that way they'd at least they'd have that opportunity to cover. We hired a grad student as media production became larger, as versions 2 and 3 came and they had cameras and there was iMovie on there and the video production became a big thing. We'll talk about that in a bit. We hired a grad student to support their use of the media production, so every faculty member didn't have to be an expert in that. We made sure to give the iPads to faculty early. They tended to come out in the spring. So actually, when did they come out? In the fall, actually. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but in the spring, we could give the new iPads to the faculty so that they'd be ready for what happened next fall. They'd have all summer to kind of play with them and see what the new capabilities were. We also gave up this whole idea in a way of e-texts. I shouldn't say we gave up, but we really decided the textbooks were not ready for this in a large scale. If students could find e-texts that they wanted to use, great, no problem. But they were so complex, and the market was such a weird thing. There's DRM to worry about. You know, it's a lease model generally. Is it HTML-based? So you need web. Do you need actually network access to get to it? Is it downloadable? Is it blah, blah, blah? There's all these variables. And basically, we just kind of said, whoa. I know we said maybe we were going to, like, provide, you know, save everyone money. But when it comes down to it, you know, here's the variables. Educate yourself on what they are. Make your own decision. That's what we're going to do. That's what we can do. And then, of course, the iPads changed. And we had to adjust every year to the changes that happened and make sure we understood what they could do and give faculty that support they needed. So we came up, I had to come up with a new vision. So year two, here's what they're good for, right? And this is, here we go, sustainable classroom. We are going to move our documents and everything we use as much as we can electronically. Okay, so sustainable meaning green, meaning paperless. That sounded better to the newspapers, I think. Bridge the digital divide. This was important to faculty and everyone. Again, as Allison pointed out, we have a lot of students that come from disadvantaged backgrounds in the college, and making sure they all have access to these devices wasn't important.
Okay, so Dave, from a student end, all right, so this is great. This sounds amazing. But we have a kind of our own ideas of how we use this. There's a little different reality in our day-to-day
life. Sustainable classroom?
In a sense. But, you know, we know what we're using them for, really.
Okay, so we did learn every spring what students told us what they really were good for. I could come out and say, here's what we're going to do, here's what the great vision that we're going to have, and we're going to change things. And when we collected survey data from them every spring, we'd like you to take 2 minutes, turn to the person next to you, and see if you can guess what students actually said that they use these iPads for on a daily basis, in their courses, and so on. 2 minutes. Go. It's 9:46, yeah. Yeah, if you can whip through that. And then what do we have after that? I'll make those quick as I can. Maybe I'll give them a minute here instead of two. Checkout ones?
Yes.
We re-imaged them. I don't remember how often. We had that automated. The checkout ones were. Right. The students could do whatever they wanted. Right. Okay. Maybe that wasn't 2 minutes, but we're running a little behind. So quickly, a couple of comments. What do you think students said that they used them for? Social media, entertainment, fun stuff, games, email, searching, getting information.
Okay. So Allison? we'll let's look at the top five here. So this is, again, what they said they did daily is dark green there, a few times a week, a few times a month, a few times all year, and then never. All right, so that kind of goes from darkest. So the daily uses, top five kind of daily uses, checking email, you know, over 60%. Accessing Moodle, so course management system was a big deal, and discovering all the nooks and crannies of the course management system that was not iPad accessible was a nice thing to hammer out to, and things need to open in new tabs and new windows, or you may as well forget that you even have an iPad. So that was fun. Social networking, looking up information, and accessing U of M, our U of M website, so making sure that's mobile is also interesting. It kind of exposes a lot of things that are or are not mobile friendly. Farther down, kind of audio, listening to music, watching videos, reading documents, though, and checking their calendar, you know, kind of personal productivity things, things like that. And then recording videos, you're kind of seeing there were some video projects, though, that emerged, and so students, you know, kind of did that maybe not every day, but over the course of the semester, there'd be, you know, a couple intensive weeks where they'd record videos for class and edit those in iMovie and submit them. So that's kind of a spectrum. And we also asked them, what is the best way that the iPad was used in your class? And so this is just a kind of a word cloud of what they were saying, you know, things like video, things like projects, using them in their first year. That FYI is their first year inquiry class, so it was part of kind of their core courses they had to take, so a lot of them talked about that. Moodle, our course management system, a lot talked about that. This is just a couple quotes, though, that I think kind of pulls an interesting spectrum of what they were saying, and this is just student survey quotes when they said what the best use was. One of them liked using iMovie to make a digital film. They didn't own a video camera, so they wouldn't have, you know, done video projects otherwise. Another would download the reading materials and then didn't go to the library anymore to print things off. Taking quizzes on Moodle was great, and you got instant feedback. Eventually, instructors did figure out the quiz thing, and, you know, we hammered that out. But and then also statistics, you know, taking kind of a mobile survey project, you know, and you could walk around class or walk around the campus and say, hey, take my survey here, you know, like you get accosted on the street with somebody with a mobile survey, they could practice that already on campus. So that was just an interesting range there. We also then asked them eventually for courses that make reading material available electronically. And I should say over the course of the 3 years, instructors really did shift towards electronic, you know, PDF versions, et cetera. You maybe also saw that kind of in your context just generally, but with the iPads that also became kind of a big emergent thing, is shifting more towards the PDF readings. And eventually they did prefer 2-to-1 electronic version on the iPad over paper. A lot of them, you know, didn't actually have printers. I think we're also noticing students are increasingly not having printers in their dorms and things or going to the library. So there was overwhelming support for electronic reading on the iPad, less support for electronic reading on a laptop. I can't imagine people, if you've tried reading on a laptop, I can't imagine you're surprised by that preference shift. But. And then we kind of just asked an overall impact. You know, how would this have impacted different things? Was it positive, negative, or neutral? Just to get a sense of, is this, you know, how does this sit with your experience in your very first year? So we did see mostly kind of positive, neutral for connections with instructors, that it had kind of a positive or didn't really change their connections with instructors. Not negative, though. It wasn't, you know, this is making me feel really distant from my, you know, peers, instructors. Managing time. Again, some were distracted, some weren't, but most generally felt it was a positive or just kind of a neutral change on managing time. But active participation engagement and first-year experience were really interesting. How overwhelmingly kind of positive they thought that it, again, this is sort of a blanket sense of how did this change your first-year experience, and a lot of them did say it had a positive impact on my first-year experience. You know, there's maybe a lot behind that. We're not quite sure what is behind that, but the fact that they all had them and the fact that it was sort of an identity piece may have to do with it. You know, they all kind of knew we're first-year students, we have iPads, this is kind of what it looks like, and that felt like a positive thing to them. So stepping back from the student really quickly, we're going to go back to the administrator kind of thoughts here.
Go ahead. So here's what we learned, some important lessons that we learned about the implementation of this. We needed to clarify to students, you can keep these until you leave. They also had the same questions faculty had about investment. How much should I invest in this? Should I buy apps and put it on it? Should I buy an electronic? So to let them know, this is yours. I mean, it technically isn't, but it's yours. Okay? And same thing to faculty, we already talked about that, this message of this will continue, your investment in time will be valuable. To tell both faculty and students, personal uses are okay. We got that question first year a lot, like, can I put a game on here? Is that okay if I do this with it? I just do whatever you need to do. Exploratory term, for this project and the way that it was and the purpose of it, which was exploratory, that tone set by my dean was incredibly important, that she supported them in their exploration. Mm-hmm. That was important, that they didn't think, oh, I'm going to get in trouble if I do X, Y, or Z. She actually wanted them to do that. Giving faculty control, voluntary adoption. We did not try to manage the devices at all. So they had access, they could put anything on, take anything off that they wanted to, and let them find their own space to use it in their courses. I think this is one of the most important things, is to have that deep engagement with faculty on a day-to-day basis, to be able to listen to them and adjust and constantly listen and adjust. And we might have this kind of vision of here's what it might be able to do, and I hope you've heard that today, kind of the faculty are saying, well, here's what actually is happening. And we can continue to adjust both the vision and the support that they need to get things done. We also heard, this is kind of a little bit of an aside, but that when we asked them, well, maybe we should just go to bring your own device model, from a technical standpoint, we thought we could probably deal with that. That's manageable. That's where things seem to be going anyway. From an instructional perspective, they really resisted that, and they said, no, that'd be hard for them to manage the instruction from these devices and manage the support that they need to provide their students instructions on how to do something, or mm-hmm. it'd be different for every device. Mm-hmm. So did valuable things emerge? Now, I want to... Allison interrupted me when I kept talking about my vision, right? Thanks, Allison. But I don't want to downplay that. It was really important to have someone saying, here's where we're going with this, because it wasn't clear. It wasn't always right, but it wasn't always clear where we were going. And so to have someone do that, it allowed my staff, it allowed faculty, it allowed everyone to kind of have a common understanding of, oh, let's think about that. Maybe we could do X, Y, or Z. Many times it didn't work out, but once in a while it might. So here are some successes that came from this. There were a lot of little successes that happened in classes. You heard some examples that may or may not have sounded innovative to you. But trust me, there were faculty who did some innovative things. From a larger perspective of impact that we had on both this program, the university, and beyond, the faculty eventually figured out what great media production devices these were, and they created a common digital storytelling assignment that all students created. They wanted to do this earlier, but the support around, like, how do you check out a camera, and we're going to do the editing, and was just too daunting. An iPad self-contained video production unit. We piloted an Apple TV installation in a couple of classrooms a couple of years ago. And what that allows, it's amazing, not only does it allow the instructor to walk around and wirelessly project what they're doing, but they can call in students and say, show us what you have, show us what you have. And they can share their work, and it gets projected wirelessly from their seat. They don't even have to move. This is now a standard installation at the university. You can walk into any classroom, plug in an Apple TV, and wirelessly project from whatever you're using. That would not have happened if this exploratory iPad project wouldn't have happened. I was meeting with the university librarian at one point who was lamenting about how faculty keep sending their students to the copyright clearance when they have $18 million in digital assets that are kind of ignored. So they're buying things, they're asking students to buy things that the university already has license for. So we, because of the iPad project and our focus on content and e-content and this kind of sustainable classroom green, we developed a process that basically intervened. We took the faculty requests for content, went to the libraries, set up digital content, and now this is all being, it's a long story, but this is all being now implemented in Moodle. We're building an instance in Moodle where students now just log on, see all of their content that's available to them. If they haven't purchased, if there is purchasing involved, it hooks right to the bookstore and it gives them instant access to it. And that would not have happened. This is a university-wide change that would not have happened without this iPad project. The Open Textbook Project is probably the biggest impact that we've had. Again, for we are frustrated with e-texts. I started looking at open textbooks. We had 10 faculty adopt open textbooks. These are textbooks that are licensed openly, Creative Commons licensed. They are free. They are out there. This is now a national project. This is what I spend most of my time doing now, actually, is this Open Textbook Project, going to other universities and help them start open textbook initiatives. Since fall of 2012, 10 faculty adopting open textbooks have saved our students about $200,000. It adds up really, really fast because textbooks are expensive. So that would not have happened if we did not kind of continue to talk about this vision of e-text green, this vision. So
speaking of vision.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I think that's just what we're trying to emphasize here is that, you know, an optimistic tone, an exploratory tone, you know, that's kind of what this project was about from the vision. The action hits walls and hits realities, but a deep conversation with faculty and empathy there. I mean, I'm speaking from the academic tech support role, but empathy for that and empowering that exploration and knowing it's not easy and knowing that, you know, where your spaces of play are different from theirs and their priorities are different, that's just a constant reminder of that. So we have some time for questions. I know we're kind of bumping
just a minute
up,
or two.
Yeah, I know we're bumping up against 10 o'clock, but... let's go ahead and grab. Yep. So, and we have microphones here, so the online audience here
is okay
around
with it. Is that all right? Can I do that? Okay.
What are you going to do with these iPads when they leave and they're 4 years old?
Good question. What are we going to do when they leave? I have no idea. This is the fourth year. We'll get them back in the spring. All I can tell you is I don't really want them back. The university has a policy, of course. We can't just tell students. You can't give away university property. But we could sell them back at whatever the market price is if students really want them. So I don't know how much that is, $50 for, I don't know what an iPad 1 is worth. So we don't know yet, but I don't want them. You want them?
Actually, kind of in that context, did you have any discussion with the dean about making it a requirement as opposed to purchasing them for the students? Kind of in that, also goes with that context of BYOD. You know, there's BYOD, free-for-all, and BYOD, purchase your own.
Right, and yes, we did have that conversation and decided not to go down that road because our college has a history and very focused on access. And so to raise the cost for students was not palatable. It may end up where we go. I don't know. This was all funded with donor funding. So it didn't really cost the college in its operating budget anything. And so that was kind of an easy decision to make then. But the donor funding is not going to last forever. And so at some point, we are going to have to say, make a decision about that. And that's one of the options that's on the plate. So.
I mean, I think the interesting thing to note, too, is that we're noticing students coming in having, we have a little bit of data on how many had used an iPad or a mobile device in high schools beforehand. And it's, you know, it's increasing. So some of them are, iPads are associated with their academic career. So
it's kind of like laptops. Who knows? I mean, maybe another 5 years. Everyone's got a laptop almost now, right? Almost. Maybe that's what'll be the case.
Just two quick questions. Cases, keyboards, was that supplied or did people buy their own? And then also mobile device management, you said you did not manage these.
So cases and keyboards, we have...
It was up to them.
We did buy cases for them, the Apple standard case, just the cover for them, just to protect them. Keyboards, no. That was really up to them. Management of them, we did not. What was the question? Did we just let them go? We showed them how to enter their own Apple ID. If they didn't have an Apple ID, we showed them how they could get one without entering a credit card. We did not
want to. That was a big yet.
Right, and which is possible. So we did configure them a little bit so that they were already on the network, and some configuration was done of the devices beforehand, but not managed.
We also did clarify that the apps that they purchased with their Apple ID were theirs to keep, that kind of ownership, and so if they got another device, they'd have them.
How about costs for the commercial apps, so the Pages and the Keynote and things like that?
Yeah, that was up to the students. We did not provide those at all. We did survey the students and asked them whether they thought they were asked to buy too much, and they said overwhelmingly not.
Vast majority spent under $10 on apps the whole year. So they got a lot of apps, but a lot of free apps.
Right.
They also got more apps. I know I looked at a histogram, kind of how many apps. They got more apps for personal use than for classroom use. So they were kind of exploring a little more in their personal space.
But. Right. Go ahead. I'll repeat it. I think we're out of time then. No, they don't. Even though we do have a class in the college in our learning technologies program of app development that made the news. I don't know if people have heard about that, but no, we did not get into app development at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid we're out of time. So thank you very much. We'll be out in the hallway if you have questions. Thanks.
Thanks for coming.